We're reading from Galatians chapter 4, verse 21 through to 5:15. Tell me, you who want to be under the law, are you not aware of what the law says? For it is written that Abraham had two sons, one by the slave woman and the other by the free woman. His son by the slave woman was born in the ordinary way, but his son by the free woman was born as the result of a promise. These things may be taken figuratively, for the women represent two covenants. One covenant is from Mount Sinai and bears children who are to be slaves. This is Hagar. Now Hagar stands for Mount Sinai in Arabia and corresponds to the present city of Jerusalem, because she is in slavery with her children. But the Jerusalem that is above is free, and she is our mother. For it is written, be glad, O barren woman who bears no children. Break forth and cry aloud, you who have no labour pains, because more are the children of the desolate woman than of her who has a husband. Now you, brothers, like Isaac, are children of promise. At that time, the son born in the ordinary way persecuted the son born by the power of the Spirit. It is the same now. But what does the scripture say? Get rid of the slave woman and her son, for the slave woman's son will never share in the inheritance with the free woman's son. Therefore, brothers, we are not children of the slave woman, but of the free woman. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my words, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law. You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from Christ. You have fallen away from grace. But by faith, we eagerly await, through the Spirit, the righteousness for which we hope. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. You were running a good race. Who cut in on you and kept you from obeying the truth? That kind of persuasion does not come from the one who calls you. A little yeast works through the whole batch of dough. I am confident in the Lord that you will take no other view. The one who is throwing you into confusion will pay the penalty, whoever he may be. Brothers, if I am still preaching circumcision, why am I still being persecuted? In that case, the offence of the cross has been abolished. As for those agitators, I wish they would go the whole way and emasculate themselves. You, my brothers, were called to be free, but do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather, serve one another in love. The entire law is summed up in a single command: love your neighbour as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other.
Please leave your Bibles open there in Galatians. Let's pray. Father God, we pray that you would guide us as we reflect on the meaning of those verses, Lord. We pray that as we do so, Lord, you might remind us about the wonderful freedom we have in Christ Jesus. Lord, I pray that you would guide my words now, that they would be for your glory and your namesake. And we pray these things in Jesus' name. Amen. Not long after Tamara and I got married, we got two little Kelpie Collie puppies that grew into two very, very energetic dogs. I named one of them Jess, and Tamara named the other one Hannah. And even when they were little tiny puppies, it was very clear that Jess was going to be the dominant dog, the leader of the pack. Whenever I'd kick the ball, it was always Jess that had to get it first, otherwise there was a fight. Whenever Hannah made up a new game, Jess would have to be right in the middle of that game, in control. And whenever we gave them a bone, Jess would sooner or later end up with both of them. Now, usually when we'd give them a bone, we'd tie them up first and we'd give them both a bone and give Hannah a bit of a time where she could enjoy hers. But as soon as we had let those dogs off, Jess would make a beeline to Hannah's kennel, grab that bone and take it back to her own. Then she would guard that bone with her life. And she wouldn't just guard it for the afternoon, she would guard it for days. She was clearly food motivated, like just about all Kelpie Collies. But as she sat there, making sure Hannah wouldn't get to that bone, she'd become increasingly stressed. You could see it in her body language. She would be so stressed anytime anyone walked near because she was guarding her treasure. She wouldn't chase the ball if you kicked it. She wouldn't come if you tried to call her. She wouldn't move from that spot. And so after a few days, I would sneakily go and take both of those bones away. And as soon as those bones were gone, it was like Jess was a completely different dog. All of a sudden, she'd be relaxed and happy, ready to chase after the ball, ready to come when I call. The pressure was off. She'd been set free from this incredible desire to make sure that Hannah didn't get that bone. And you know what? We can be like that ourselves. We can be just like Jess. We can all become captive to things that we think are really important. We can get caught up in the unspoken expectations of what we think a follower of Jesus should look like or live like. We can get caught up trying to obey all sorts of unwritten rules. And we can forget that we have been set free from those expectations through faith in Jesus Christ. There's no such thing as a bad Christian. Because if there were any kind of levels in the Christian walk, none of us would ever measure up. There are only two groups: those who have been forgiven through faith in Jesus and those who are still in their sins. And so no matter how many times you have messed up this week with your words and with your actions, no matter how weighed down and frustrated you are about your own inability to measure up to God's standard of good, in fact, no matter how many times you've done good things in the name of Jesus, we are all sinners and we all need a Savior. And because of that, faith is the only way. Faith in Jesus is the only way that any of us can experience freedom. Well, in today's passage, the Apostle Paul is explaining to the believers in Galatia that Jesus has set those who trust in him free. He has set them free from the requirements of God's law, that huge list of rules, so that they could serve him out of thankfulness rather than duty. Because Jesus didn't set us free just to bring us other under another kind of burden. He fulfilled all the law and paid the price for our sins so that we would know the kind of freedom that can only be found through faith in him. So there are two main points to today's passage. I'm not going to be dealing with every single verse or Paul's admonishment to go the whole way for those Judaizers. But the first point we see is in chapter 4, verses 21 to 31, where Paul explains that if you have faith in Jesus, you don't need to take matters into your own hands. Now, as this passage begins, Paul says in verse 21, "Tell me, you who want to be under the law, Are you not aware of what the law says? What Paul's saying is, you think you know what the law says? You don't even understand the meaning of what it is saying. And so to challenge their understanding, he does something quite unusual. The only time in Scripture that Paul actually does it is here. He gives them an allegory or an example. An example of Isaac and Ishmael. Now, if you remember the account of Abraham and Sarah back in Genesis 12, you remember that God promised that Abraham would have a descendant, an heir, and from him would come one who would bless all the nations of the earth. That is God's promise. And because of the New Testament, we know that that one who would come and bless all the nations of the earth is Jesus. But for Sarah, the fulfillment of God's promise took a really long time. In fact, it took a really, really, really long time. 25 years after God gave the promise was when he fulfilled it. And so it's not surprising that she became impatient. It's not surprising that she took matters into her own hands. And Sarah gave her female servant named Hagar to Abraham, her husband, so that they could have an heir together. And his name was Ishmael. Taking matters into her own hands only caused Abraham and Sarah more grief. You can read about that in Genesis. It wasn't until 13 years after Ishmael was born that God fulfilled his promise to Abraham and gave him an heir through Sarah named Isaac. And it's these two descendants of Abraham, Isaac and Ishmael, that Paul is using as an example, as a way of explaining those who worship God through faith and those who are still trusting in the law. Now, Paul says that Ishmael was the older brother, and he says that he was conceived in the same way that everyone else is conceived and was born into slavery, while Isaac, the younger brother, was born according to God's promise. Paul says in verse 25 that Hagar, Ishmael's mother, stands for Mount Sinai, which is a place where Moses was given God's law. And that happened not long after God had rescued his people from Egypt. And so she symbolizes all those who are still trusting in the law as their hope. While Isaac's mother, Sarah, on the other hand, symbolizes the Jerusalem that is above, the Jerusalem that is free. What Paul is saying is that those who trust in Jesus are children of the promise that God made to Abraham, and he fulfilled through Isaac and ultimately through Jesus. If you have faith in Jesus, you're not a child of the slave woman whose hope is in obedience to God's law, but of the free woman whose hope is in what Jesus has done for us on the cross. And if you've already been set free, then you don't need to take matters into your own hands and try and earn favor with God by what you do. Because we have already been set free by what Jesus has done for us. Now, the second point that Paul makes is found in chapter 5, verses 1 to 15, where Paul explains that if you have faith in Jesus, you don't need to have it all together. Paul says in verse 1, "It is for freedom that Christ has set you free." In other words, Jesus didn't go to the cross so that you could go and put yourselves back under a new kind of law. He went to the cross to set us free, free from the requirements of the law, so that we would no longer be burdened by a yoke of slavery, being constantly stressed, like Jess, the dog, constantly stressed by all the things that we haven't done and should have done, and all the things we have done and shouldn't have done. That isn't freedom. And that isn't what God wants for those who trust in his Son. And that's why Paul says in verse 2, mark my words. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ will be of no value to you at all. Paul isn't saying that they will instantly lose their salvation if they get circumcised. What he's saying is this: if they get circumcised, they will be treating Jesus' sacrifice as though it is not enough. They'll be trying to hedge their bets between Jesus and the law. And they would be holding on to circumcision as a kind of safety blanket. When our girls were little, one of them, I'm not going to say who, used to have a little blanket. We call it blankie in our house. And if that blankie went missing around bedtime, or if it was wet because it had been washed, Tamara and I knew we were in trouble, because we would hear about it, because our little girl wanted her blankie and needed her blankie to feel safe. But the truth is that if anything seriously went wrong in our household, that blankie had no power to do anything. It was more of a placebo than anything else. And in a similar way, these Gentile believers were trying to trust in Jesus while holding onto the law as a safety blanket. That's why Paul says in verse 3 that it won't do you any good to try and be good enough for God. Because obeying 99.999999% of God's law isn't enough to save you. None of us can undo any of the wrongs we've already done in our lives. We can't get rid of them. And so even if from now on we're able to live a completely, perfectly sinless life, it wouldn't be good enough to save us. And so it doesn't matter if you've been christened, confirmed, baptized, or participate in the Lord's Supper, the New Testament equivalents to circumcision. It doesn't matter about those things. There is only one thing that is going to make any difference on the day that Jesus returns, and that is whether your faith is in Jesus. So it doesn't matter if we have it all together. It doesn't matter if we have done all of those things. The only thing that really matters is if we have faith in Jesus. Because if we have faith in him, we have been set free by what Jesus has done for us. Today's passage is reminding us that if we have faith in Jesus, we've been set free so that we might experience the freedom of being able to serve him out of thankfulness and gratitude rather than duty, feeling like we should do this or we should do that because it's what we're supposed to do. Those who trust in Jesus should live in a way that honors him. We should have morals that are based on the teachings of Scripture. We should love our neighbors as ourselves, which is often costly and often means giving up what we would prefer. We should be willing to be sacrificial with our time and our money. We should avoid sexual immorality of every kind, including what we look at. We should be seeking to live according to God's word. But we are only able to do those things in a way that honors Jesus if we are doing it out of gratitude and thankfulness. If we are doing it because we feel like we should do it, like we have to do it, then it is nothing more than keeping the law. It's only when we love our neighbor because Jesus first loved us that we embrace the freedom that Jesus died to give us. It's only when we are seeking to live according to God's word, to live for him, that we embrace the freedom that Jesus wants us to experience. Doing these kind of things so that we will please God. Well, that's nothing more than what the Judaizers were doing. That's nothing more than religion without freedom. The only way that we can please God is if we embrace the freedom that he died to give us. If you have faith in Jesus, you have been set free from the requirements of God's law. Not so you can go and indulge in all kinds of sins and ignore what it says. That's not what our freedom is supposed to do. But so that our good works might be done out of thankfulness for the freedom that Jesus made possible for those who trust in him. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Let's pray. Father God, we acknowledge that we are so often just like Jess the dog. We so often stress over things that do not matter. We so often live lives that are more about should and ought rather than about what you have done for us. Lord, we pray that you would help us to live our lives in the light of the freedom that Jesus has made possible. And as we do so, Lord, we pray that you would grow our joy and our love for you. And Lord, we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.